Hello and welcome to HIV Matters podcast. My name is Michelle Croston, and as your host, I will be facilitating interesting conversations with leading experts in the field of HIV care. The conversations will be centred around exploring ways to improve quality of life for people living with HIV. Throughout my career, I've always had a keen interest in any initiatives to improve outcomes for people living with HIV, which has led me to work with a variety of different organisations, with different healthcare professionals and activists. Here at HIV Matters, we hope to use our unique perspectives and platforms to improve knowledge and understanding with regards to HIV. In order to do this, we will engage in conversations with people living with HIV, people who have worked in the HIV sector, and sometimes a mixture of both. We hope you enjoy the episode, and if you have any ideas or questions on this or future episodes, please contact us at hello@hivmatters.co.uk. You can also follow us on Instagram at HIV Matters Podcast, or visit our website at www.hivmatterspodcast.co.uk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and comment on our show. So today I'm being joined on the HIV Matters podcast by Winnie and Menny, who I'm proud to call friends and also colleagues. I'm worried that I'm not going to give their bio any justice because I'm just too excited to be sharing this time with them. So Winnie, are you able to introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Well, my full names are Winnie Saruma, and I am a freelance consultant. I mainly focus on assessing and monitoring community health, social justice, and HIV projects in Africa and the UK.
Thank you, Winnie. I'm so excited to be sharing this time with you, and I can't wait to share what we've got to share with our listeners. So, Menny, over to you, my love. Are you able to introduce yourself for our listeners?
My name is Menny Sachikonye, living in the UK, originally from Zimbabwe. I work for the UK Community Advisory Board, which is a network of HIV advocates, which has about 700 members across the UK. I also work for Positively UK, which used to be Positively Women, as a service user and a volunteer. Now I'm the admin and finance lead. And I also collaborate with organizations in Africa through a network called AfroCab, and also in Europe through an organization called EATG.
Thank you, Menny, and thank you both for joining me today. So for our listeners, previously we recorded a podcast with Winnie and Angelina to talk about a project that we've been involved in called Our Stories Told by Us, which is a book that celebrates the African contribution to the HIV epidemic in the UK. So I'm delighted that Winnie and Menny are here today to give us a little bit of an update on that project and where we are today. So I'm just wondering if one of you would be, maybe Winnie to start and then Menny to follow, if you'd be able to provide us an update with regards to the book and where we're at.
We launched the book last year in May. And now it's just under a year, you know, just since we launched it. After the launch, we went on a book tour, mainly of the UK, because that's where we focus mainly, especially as we are celebrating the work of African communities in the UK. So that was our priority, to go around the UK and talk to communities about the book, about why we did it, and all of that. And we've done almost 40 in-person events, not counting the promotions, different, but in-person, where one of us, because it's five of us, where either one of us, two of us, or the five of us have been. And we not only, went around the UK, but we went beyond the UK. We went to Dublin, Ireland. we went to Geneva, Switzerland. So we have, you know, done more than we ever hoped for already with the book and the reception of the book by different people has been really amazing and very good. So it's been incredibly encouraging to go and talk to people who have read the book and really enjoyed it and congratulated us for having put it together.
Thank you, Vinnie. And I'm just kind of pausing for a minute just to say, wow, 40 different events between you. That is absolutely some doing. As our listeners have heard from our Memory and Winnie's bios, they are busy people with their full-time jobs, and to commit to taking this book to 40 different spaces. And also, without funding, I'm just going to add, this has kind of been something that you've done on top of everything and kind of worked along that way. So that is amazing. You mentioned a little bit about kind of the reception and the reactions you've had to the book, and I'm just wondering if Memory, you'd be able to share some of the kind of reactions you've had to the book as you've been touring around.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, our first reception, I think right from day one, we've had very good receptions. Our first tour was in Brighton. And I remember getting to the station and finding people from Sussex Beacon with placards, which was us. So it was really like the first warm welcome. And we thought, could it get better than this? Yes, it did. It got better and better and better. And then our other next one was in Scotland. All of us, five of us in Scotland. And we thought, my God, we have made it. Edinburgh and Glasgow. I mean, everybody's so welcoming, everybody's so complimentary, everybody's so, you know, amazing. You know, like you write a book and we're not sure what reaction would get out there. And it's just been amazing.
Thank you for sharing that. I was fortunate enough to join Angelina in the Manchester tour. And oh my God, the reception from people in the room. We had drummers, which just kind of created that ambiance, and the reaction from people in the room, I think for me, I'll never forget, because there was people standing up after saying that they wanted to share their stories, they wanted to be empowered, they felt empowered to share their stories as a result of kind of the book and kind of the path that you'd paved as well. So yeah, absolutely phenomenal. Thank you. So I'm just wondering, from the book tour, and there was 40 different places to choose from, what have been your highlights?
I think it's really difficult because every event has been so different. And depending on who the audience is, we've done different things at every at every turn, really. But some of the things that stood out for me in some places, for instance, Scotland was exceptional. It was exceptional because we went to both Edinburgh and we went to Glasgow. We were doing very different events in both places. And we did some media recordings. We did the National Library there, where our book went into the library. And then we did events with people living with HIV and different organizations that were responsible for inviting us to, you know, to Scotland. So it was a variety of things, and it was all quite exciting. But we also did something like the Beaver Symposium, which was, you know, was sponsored by Viv Healthcare. And that was a huge audience. And to be able to get a spot at that conference was really, really fantastic. and to get that audience and the response and everything that went with it was amazing. And then at the end of the year, without having to preempt what memory might say, we went to Geneva to UNAIDS, and that crowned off the year very nicely.
What a year you guys have had. And just wondering, Memory, if you could share with our listeners, what did it mean to you and the team to receive that invite to present at UNAIDS?
Oh my God, where do I start? I mean, getting the invite was an honor on its own. Initially, they'd only invited two of us. But the chief executive of executive director of UNAIDS, Winnie Byanyima, said, no, I want all five here. They bent backwards to make sure those who needed visas got their visa. Your travel was booked. Everything was done beforehand. That was the first, like, okay, we are all going. Getting there, walking into that building in Geneva that we've all read about and known about, never been there. Yeah. I was like, oh, is this really happening? So you pinch yourself and just say, okay, we are here now. So they had a program arranged for us. So we're being recorded, and there was a PCB meeting going where, of course, Winnie B was chairing, since she's the executive director. And then in the evening, there was the reception where we were going to read part of our book. And then she said, after the PCB meeting, which was running late, she said to her staff, I want to meet them in my office. She was not rushing with us. She sat down, we had tea, and we talked one to one. I mean, for me, I was like, Mama, I've made it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's like the highlight of my 58 years of living, is sitting in that room with Winnie, going to the reception and reading. Yes, it was the best, but the time that she made for the group, addressing, talking to each one of us about our countries, about what's going on in the world, about the book, about what she wishes we could do, which we are following up on. So we have our fingers crossed that if that comes true, we'll be global superstars.
Oh, wow. And, you know, as I'm listening to your memory, I can see you both beaming, and my heart is literally bursting right now with pride and just... Yeah, amazing, amazing. Yeah, I'm not sure how you guys follow that, but I know that having the privilege of spending so much time with you over the past couple of years, I know you're going to just smash whatever comes your way. Obviously, that was probably a surprise, a surprise invite, but have there been other surprises along the way? I'm sure none will top that, but has there been any surprises along this journey for you?
I think... there have been quite a few surprises. I mean, while we were doing the book, putting it together, getting it out, you know, it was for us more of a passion project than anything else. We knew we wanted to do this. But I think what we were not prepared for is how much it was needed, because that's what we've kept hearing about. Wow, you know, there's nothing like it before. About communities that have been living in the UK for a long time and impacted by HIV, but there's been nothing to talk about or highlight the work that has been done until our book. So for me, I'm so proud of that. Prouder now than when we started to put this book before, because I realize the impact of what we've done. I think for me, that has really been, it has been a surprise. I knew we're doing something that was impactful, but I didn't realize how impactful it was going to be. And I'm proud of that.
Gosh, yeah, I'm just, every time we speak, I'm always kind of pausing to take that moment of awe at kind of what you guys have achieved and what you continue to achieve. And thinking about that, is there a next phase of the book? You kind of, how would, if there was an ideal world where funding, resources and money wasn't an issue, and if I could magic an angel donor, I think they're called, if I had that power, how would you like to see the next phase of this book unfold?
For me, we have done what we have done so far, but it's not enough. We still need to take this book to other countries, to other people who still have to learn. We are living in the UK, and I feel we are quite privileged in terms of access to good treatment, in terms of access to support, peer support, and just safety. Everyone can know that I'm living with HIV and nobody will attack me. I don't care if anyone judges me, but I can still live feeling that I'm a free person. There are people in Africa and some people in what we consider the first world who are still struggling to cope with their HIV diagnosis. There are people who can't even talk about it in family settings, friendships, relationships. So if we can just show other people that, you know, we are living freely, we are not worried about stigma, since the book is also about fighting stigma, I think we've started our job. We won't be able to do it all, but we've started something. Get people talking and get people be aware that you can actually live very well, of course, with access to good treatment. I mean, most people have access to treatment now, but just to give people that positive inspiration of, you know, you are who you are. You can be who you want to be. Nothing can stop you. HIV doesn't stop your life or your ambitions. So that will be my best wish. I know Winnie has a list of wishes.
I have a list of wishes longer than my two arms. but I'll try to manage those wishes. I really do feel that there's still more work that we could do, and there's still a lot of different things that we would like to do. One of the things we've already done is to evaluate how the book tour has gone, what we've learned, and what could have gone better, and all of those things. And I think it's really important to reflect before then we move forward to do other things. So we've done that reflection, and I think where we would want to go is to, we all have individual goals, but we also have group goals. So we need to be able to manage all of that within this space that we have. We definitely want to do more, because there's so much, you know, there are so many different gaps within the work that we do within our community. So we'd like to address some of those real practical gaps, you know, around, you know, how do we connect with people again within the communities? How can we get this book into every single HIV clinic in the country, so that if people can't afford to buy those books, then they can at least, be able to borrow them and read them and leave them in the clinics. So that's one thing. But, you know, we also have a lot of learning to do, not just in the UK, but, in places like the US, where there are Black communities that, you know, might be going through the same things like communities here. What can we learn from them? What can we learn from, you know, different African countries? We want to be able to have a sort of a knowledge and sharing between all of these Black communities, where we can support each other to move forward in a way that will address some of the, health inequalities that actually, blight our communities.
Thank you for sharing that, Winnie. I'm just sat here waiting for the next chapter and hoping that you get the funding that's desperately needed to do the amazing work both yourself and Memory kind of alluded to within that. So you mentioned about the importance of reflecting on kind of the process and where you're at and how you got to where you are. I'm just wondering if either of you could go back in time, is there anything that you would do differently?
We did discuss that at our evaluation meeting, what could we have done better? So first, for me, when we're preparing the book, a colleague who was also a contributor to the book kept saying to me, how are you going to market it? And I'm like, I don't know. We are, we want to get the book out. So we did lack a bit of a marketing or marketing strategy in a way, how are we going to do this? I guess we were all quite surprised by the reaction that we got. We just thought, we'd go and talk to a few people, do a few things, just put it on Twitter, try and just, let people know it's there. But we have had so much demand. Where people want to hear about the book. So in terms of better planning for us, in terms of whatever I want to do next, and of course, plan the funding alongside it. When you're planning to do a book, you need to plan about distribution and marketing and, publicity, which we didn't have. It's not easy to come across money. We managed to print the book with the generous donations that we got from our funders. But we could have maybe thought of, phase B, where we are talking about marketing and publicity. But we did the best of what we can with very little or nothing. So we have a good base to work on right now. This experience has taught us a lot. So we can now work on next time we are doing this, we need to do better planning on some aspects of the project. But generally, we work very well as a team. Our friendship's still standing.
Yeah, that's a massive bonus. And I think, obviously, being on the outside looking in, I think your friendship's strengthened. Not that it could get any stronger, but I just feel like it's brought you guys closer together, if that's even possible.
Yeah, it did help. We know each other, we respect each other, so also that helped, in getting the project done. We know each other's strengths, we know each other's, support needs. So how we work as a team.
Definitely. And you just kind of mentioned something really important there about the kind of marketing of a project and the things that you learn afterwards. It's, who knows what goes into these things. So, yeah, great lessons and reflections. Winnie, I'm just wondering about yourself.
Yes, I think, I agree with everything that Memory has said about, what we could have done better. But I think for me, the most important thing is this was our first time to work on a book together. And we were actually testing ourselves, challenging ourselves in terms of what's possible. Mm-hmm. And that achievement we need to embrace, to own, and to celebrate as much as possible. And we haven't done as much celebration yet because we've been just going and going and going to the next event, bookstore, and whatever. I think we ought to celebrate that. Yes, there's so much more that we could have done. But what we've done on a shoestring budget has been amazing. Has taught us, how much, how more able we are to do even more than we've already done. And and the kind of belief that we need to continue to have in ourselves at how much more we can achieve if we put our minds to it. And we are all looking forward to achieving so much more. And we hope that what we've shown and what we've, you know, people have witnessed through the book tour and whatever, and that especially funders can now say we can invest in these people so we can have that money that we need to do a lot more because we have so much more to offer.
I completely concur, Winnie. There is, yeah, I would never, I can never begin to imagine what you guys are capable of. It just blows my mind every time. And I could literally sit here for hours with you both talking about this project and all the great ripple effects that have come from it so far. And I can't wait for the next chapter and update of this book. So I'm just wondering, as I've had the pleasure of your company for the past couple of years and got to know you both a lot better, I'm just wondering if it's an opportunity for our podcast listeners to get to know you a little bit better. So, Winnie, I'm just wondering if you could share with our listeners something you do as part of your self-care.
Part of my self-care? There are a number of things that I do, actually. I always try to schedule something fun almost every week. I have to have something fun that I do to balance out, you know, the work and the stresses and all of the other things. So I have to always schedule something to do that is fun. But I actually love reading. Reading is so comforting. It's almost like my mindfulness. So the first thing that I do, soon as I wake up, I read for at least 1 or 2 hours, and then my day starts. So those are the things that I say, you know, I do for self-care.
Memory, what kind of things do you do as part of your self-care?
As part of my self-care, weather permitting, I like early morning walks in my local park. So I walk, my target is 10 kilometers, which takes me just over 2 hours or 2 hours, a little bit over 2 hours if I'm a little lazy that day. That's number one, that's when my day starts. And then I have what I call a no agenda day. Usually it's a Sunday. I do not touch my email. That's the day I put out my phone and talk to friends and family. I can sit in my flat and watch rubbish TV. Eat, drink, whatever I want. I just like, you know, I'm shutting down from my, you know, was with my job. I can work every day if I'm not careful. So it's like, you know, today I have nothing on. I don't even clean the flat. I fit my cleaning in between, you know, working and stuff. And then that no agenda day is a switch off day. Rubbish TV, lazy on the sofa. Go to the kitchen, eat, and that's how I sort of relax and just not worry about anything else going on. But the walking morning is very refreshing for me. You know, I've got so used to it that my body wakes me up when it's time to walk. I have my headphones on, my mobile on. I found an internet radio station so that I can listen to radios from my country, from Zimbabwe. And there's this morning radio that I really love. It's so funny. So I sort of drift away into like I'm in Africa, I'm in Zimbabwe, hearing all the jokes in my own language, and you know, sort of keeping up with what goes on there. I find it very interesting. There are times when they talk about HIV as well, and I realize that, you know, my people are quite up to date with information. They talk about PrEP, they talk about PEP. They talk about, you know, U equals U. So it's like that session, when it comes on, I mean, it just comes on a different day. But when they talk about HIV, I almost feel like, oh my God, I wish I was there and I could call in and contribute. But just not for 2 hours disappear in no time. Then I come back and start getting stressed at work.
Exactly. Oh, wow, that sounds amazing. It's like a great, it just feeds all your senses, that, doesn't it? And like you say, a connection back home as well. Oh, wonderful. I love that. So you're both avid readers, I'm aware of this. And I think I probably know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you both anyway. Can you share with us a book that you've been reading?
This month, for our book club, we've been reading Our Stories Told by Us. We just thought that as avid readers, we ought to read our own book and critique it. Otherwise, we have no business reading other people's books and, you know, and critiquing them. So it's really going to be interesting that day we are going to have this conversation where everybody has read, you know.
In 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Something that we have put together and to critique it, you know, honestly and make sure that, you know, yeah, we learn from it. But yeah, it's been really interesting. So that's what I've been reading and I'm actually enjoying the book.
Same as Winnie, but I think the book club also is another way of unwinding. I think I also find reading a very best way to unwind. I read at night, unfortunately, unlike Winnie who reads in the morning. So when I switch off the telly, I put my phone on silent, put it away, a book really calms me down. I'm a night reader, so I read at night, and that's when I drift off to sleep. I don't have the, what they call it, the blue light effects of the TV or phone. So yeah, I find that very relaxing. Anyway, I didn't collect books in the beginning, but since down, I now have a shelf full of books. I might need a second shelf of books that we have read. So I think it's another way of kind of self-care while you expand your knowledge.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. And then just finally, my last question to you guys is, the magic wand question. I've kind of alluded to that before, but so I guess it doesn't have to be about the book, it can be about anything. So if money, time and resources weren't an issue, what would you like to see done differently in the world?
If money and time were not an issue?
Yeah, so if money, time, resources weren't an issue, what would you like to see done differently in the world?
Done differently. I mean, I think there are a lot of different things that we could do differently, but I think there are a lot. I like the stuff that we could build on, like build on this book. My wish would be to, you know, as I said before, to plug some of the gaps that I feel as Black communities we might have, not just very specific African communities. I would like to see perhaps building a leadership program from this book, a leadership program that is very culturally sensitive to the needs of our communities, a leadership program that is different, that helps people after the program either signposts them and actually supports them through getting volunteer work in organizations so that they can start to build on whatever direction of travel they want to go into, you know, or towards with their work, and then actually support them long term. Not just having to do the program and then you go off and just do your own thing. Because I think with everything now, we have to look at it as sustainable and more long-term than the more short-termish things that have not been very good for our communities.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Memories, the same question to yourself.
If I had all the resources availed to me, I would first want to see equity in treatment, access, support around the world. I would like to see my fellow women more empowered to be able to stand for themselves. Because I'm in touch with, I connect a lot with Zimbabwean women just on Facebook groups, and some of the inequalities, domestic violence and stuff that you still hear that women are going through in this time where we are in the world is quite sad. All because they're empowered. So I want to see more women empowerment, like meaningful women empowerment. Like Winnie says, you train, you support long term so that they can stand on their own, be able not to rely or have to live with them with some partners that are really monsters because you have nowhere to go. So that's on women empowerment. I'd also like to see the younger generation get more involved in seeking, ending the HIV virus and how we have lived, how we have navigated. I find that young people are actually cleverer than us when they want to be. And if they use that those resources more useful, be more useful with that intelligence, the world will be a better place. So it's all about, people getting empowered, people getting to feel strong, people getting to be independent, people getting confident, about who they are, what they do. And of course, I'd like to see world peace. Right now, wherever you turn on the news, good. If there was just somebody who knocks sense into the old man, to think better and just mind their own business and keep the countries going. Very happy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. So thank you so much, both of you, for taking part in our podcast today. And just to say over to you for any closing thoughts, remarks, or anything before we end the show this evening.
I think for me, it's about thanking all the people that have been involved in this book, including a huge thank you to you, Michelle, for all the support that, you've given us. It's been an absolute pleasure to really work with you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Huge thank you to Mark Santos, who's the CEO of Positive East. Mm-hmm. There are not enough words to thank Mark Santos. We love him. And he's been phenomenal, continues to be phenomenal to us. Mm-hmm. The people that contributed stories to the book, without their contribution, this book wouldn't have happened. So thank you to them, and thank you for everyone who has bought the book, thinking of buying the book, said nice things about the book. Just thank you. It has been such a fantastic year for us with this book, and it continues to be.
Thank you so much, Winnie. Any final thoughts, Marlon?
As Winnie has said, is to thank everyone who has listened to us, supported us, funded us, contributed to the book, as Winnie has, like I keep saying, as Winnie has said. So that's a big, first big thank you to everyone. And for everyone who has given us a chance, to given us their time and the chance to present this book to them. And we hope, as we hope, we can still, and we still hope to be able to give this book to everyone else globally. And I also want to thank you again, Michelle. You are a wonderful person. I remember writing myself thinking it's just going to be like a one thing. And then when it came back edited, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think it would read like this. So that's and the 39 other contributors might be saying the same thing as well. Thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. And like as Winnie says, Mark Santos, we can't thank him enough. We have no words. You know, we have literally no words. His time, dedication is just so appreciated. And we hope that, you know, this book gets read, known, presented as far and wide as possible.
Thank you so much. And yeah, just to say, it's been my greatest honor to be part of this. And thank you so much for letting me be part of this. And yeah, Mark Santos, the greatest human I've met today. So thank you so much, ladies, for your time. And I look forward to seeing how this unfolds and hopefully being involved a little bit more. So thanks again for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you to today's guest and to you for listening to this episode of HIV Matters. I don't know if you're anything like me and are busy writing down the lovely book suggestions made in our show. That's why HIV Matters have teamed up with bookshop.org to bring all these fantastic books to you in one unique place. To find out more about this and how to access the bookstore, please check out today's show descriptions. Today's edition of HIV Matters has been brought to you via an unrestricted educational grant from Vive Healthcare and Gilead Sciences. Gilead and Vive have had no input into guests or topics. HIV Matters is the official podcast of the National HIV Nurses Association. For more information about the National HIV Nurses Association, head over to www.nivna.org. Thanks again for listening to our show. We hope to see you next time, and together we can make a difference.